I loved school, actually. I was probably a bit of a geek at school. I went to a really interesting primary school in Pontsnooth, and it was like an old Victorian school. And I remember the playground was on a slant, so I remember playing netball, and the people would come round to play with us, and we'd have to play on this slanted playground. it was a really amazing place, and I had really great teachers who really let us explore our imaginations, and they'd take us down to the forest in Pontsnooth, and we'd write stories and draw pictures and stuff. So that was really amazing.
A lot of the people we've spoken to on 30 Lives have all said how inspiring their teachers have been.
Yeah, I think it's really important, actually. I mean, I really remember the ones in particular that were really, inspiring, and I think it really makes a difference to people as to whether they like a subject or not. I remember in my secondary school, I really loved my history teacher. It was really amazing, and I had a really amazing English teacher as well, who just really, like, they really encouraged us and let us be creative. And I think that's really important when you're little.
So what were your favourite lessons when you were at school?
Oh, what were my favourite lessons? Yeah, art, obviously.
Yes, of course.
Loved art. I loved English. I'm really, really into stories, and I just as I said, I had an amazing English teacher, and I just loved reading and being able to, like, escape into another world. I think was really important.
But, well, I think a lot of what you do now is inspired by folklore, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I'm big into folklore, and it's all inspired by sort of ancient myth and tales, and I think they're really important to be able to, I guess, not only understand sort of your history and where you came from, but also sort of develop sort of creative ideas within yourself as an artist.
No better place than Cornwall for a bit of myth and folklore.
Yeah, exactly. I think also in Pontsnooth, I don't know if you've been to the forest in Pontsnooth, but there were all these tales from it used to be an old gunpowder works. So they'd always tell these tales of things that happened there and the ghosts that lived in the forest.
See, when you're young, that's really exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we used to scare each other and go down there at night, and so that was quite fun.
You were nominated by Penryn College. So, what do you remember about Penryn College?
I loved. I feel very, very honoured that they nominated me. I loved my time there. As I said, I really enjoyed school. I really enjoyed learning, and that it was a great environment. It was a great environment for that. And I remember it was just recently been taken over by a new headmistress at the time called Mrs. Hunter. And I remember she really turned the school around and made it into, like, this really, I don't know, just a really inspiring place to be.
So from there, you now create hats and masks and things like that that are worn by some pretty famous people.
I've been pretty lucky, really. I mean, I make sort of bespoke sculptural art, really, and then the pieces can either be worn, manipulated through puppetry, or displayed as an artwork. But the headwear pieces have been quite popular with some famous people.
How did you get into that?
I studied special effects makeup at university at London College of Fashion. And then I went on to sculpt prosthetic limbs for 7 years, which sounds unrelated.
It depends if you're into sci-fi or not. It's not unrelated if you're into sci-fi
yeah, that's
or
true.
casualty or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was actually for medical purposes, but I did that for 7 years, and it was all sculpted out of silicon. And so I really learned how to sort of hone my sculpting skills, and it's a process that manipulating the silicon is a process that only about 20 people in the UK can do, so it's quite specialized. And then I went on to develop the silicon sculpture into my own artwork. So many of the pieces that you'll see on my website, the animal sculpted pieces, are all sculpted through silicon, which is, as I say, the same thing as the prosthetic limbs are made out of.
So there's lots of different uses for prosthetics. Obviously, and as far as TV goes, there's various TV shows that need the odd leg or the odd arm for something like Casualty or Holby City or whatever, or Doctor Who or something like that. But you're talking about, you actually started out creating prosthetic limbs for people to wear in everyday life.
Yes, yeah, that's it. So it was basically through people that were born with, you know, congenital defects or that had lost them through accidents. And we dealt with a lot of patients that came back from the wars. Yeah. And so it was really amazing to be able to put my creative skills into something that really, really helped people. And I met some incredible people, and you really learn, you know, stories of great courage doing that job.
Can you talk me through the process very briefly and in layman's sort of terms? If you're making a leg for somebody, I guess you base it on their other leg, because you can't have one that's not longer but thicker than the other. You can't have a thigh that's thicker than the other thigh and that type of thing.
You would be surprised, though, what people ask for.
Really?
Yeah. if you lost your leg, then we'd have a cast of the one that you still had, and they'd send through the cast, and we'd have like color matching done, and we'd have photographs and stuff, and then we basically try and recreate exactly what you had. So it's all freehand sculpted, so it really depends on how sort of technical and good you can be.
Wow, this must be really fulfilling, actually, when you see it finally fitted to somebody.
Yeah, it was really amazing. And I remember getting quite a lot of letters from people that said that it changed their lives. And I think one in particular stood out, and it was a guy, and he had a leg missing, and he wrote to me and said, "It's really changed my children's lives," because I think, you know, people, when they don't really understand what's happened to somebody, can be a bit cruel. And I think his children got a bit taunted, but they were just, you know, over the moon. And to be able to sort of, you know, think that I had a part of that was really, you know, it was a really nice feeling.
So where did the leap from that come go to making sculptures?
Yeah, well, as I said, it sounds really unrelated, but I basically, started sort of manipulating the silicon to learn how to use it for artistic purposes. And then I started making my own pieces. It kind of went from there, really. So as I said, a lot of the pieces that have sort of high definition in them are sculpted out of silicon. And I really loved, sort of during that job, I loved learning how to make things look exactly like they should be. So if you see, like, you know, the little badger headpiece and the fox headpiece that I've made, I've tried to sculpt them exactly as a fox or badger would look like, but with a added elsewhere twist.
I'm looking at I think it's a peacock at the moment.
Oh, right, yeah.
Which is pretty spectacular.
Yes, yeah, that's one of the pieces that I made for Kate Winslet, actually. So they're headpieces, but
Did you start off by making them for yourself and wearing them yourself?
I did, yeah. I started doing it for myself, and I actually started, you'll see on my website, there's a little section called, Little Creatures, and I started making, like, the little creatures for sort of stop animation, and they all come from a story that I've been writing for a while. But then I started making the headwear pieces, and one of the original badges I made to impress a boy.
It's always the way.
Yeah, it is always the way, but it worked out quite well because he's now my partner.
So. Well, he was obviously very impressed then.
Yes, he was quite impressed.
The little creatures I'm looking at the moment are incredible. Do you know what? They remind me of some steampunk. I don't know if you're familiar with steampunk.
Yes, I'm very into steampunk.
it looks that type of thing.
Yeah, they are. They're... I just got really inspired by what was around me, actually. I really like the idea of just using sort of disused objects, you know, and making them into these little creatures. I always see inanimate objects and turn them into creatures in my mind, you know. And I remember when I was younger with my dad looking at rocks, and he'd be like, look, that one looks like a fish or like a dragon or something. And so, yeah, I kind of saw that in all the random objects. So I kind of started tying them together and making them into little creatures and stuff. And yeah, it kind of all went from there.